This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Been a busy day already. We talked to Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant, the two new hosts from 7 to 10. A lot of interest and intrigue over the last few days. People wondering who that would be ever since Brock and I announced, what, last Tuesday that we would be moving aside and not doing this morning show anymore. We'll be doing a podcast. You can join us in that text podcast to 710-710. Follow it up with a yes and then a subscribe link button, all that. We hope you will continue to join us. But yeah, Danny and Gallant, our new show here from 7 to 10 following the Blitz. It'll be Paul Gallant and Danny O'Neill. Then you'll have John Clayton, a mystery still, who will be in middays with Tom Wassel. And then the new afternoon show, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, Jim Moore. How about that?
I'm kind of asking this question aloud, maybe should have earlier, but is Paul one of the first that's been a radio pro?
You
had dabbled somewhat. I had done none. Dave had done none. Jim had done none. Danny had done none. Bob, I guess, was a pro as
Bob
well.
Is a big-time pro.
Bob was a big-time
Roz
pro.
Roz was a pro.
True. So I guess there's a little bit of a mix.
I mean, I feel like I was sort of a pro. I was doing some national
radio. Mike, you
radio.
Had dabbled, all right? Mike, it was just a little dabble.
I was doing national radio on a semi-regular basis. I didn't have my own show at that time.
Let's be fair. You were more valet at that time than you were radio.
That's not true. That is unnecessary.
Mike, you basically had no idea what you were
bit
doing.
Bit of a shot,
it was kind of sad.
I did know not to nod on the air, which I had somehow gleaned in my dabbling.
There was lots of questions of whether or not you even like sports, frankly, by Lumberg won. So.
Well, here we are 10 years later, and guess who was right? Lumberg won. Like, yes. I guess I don't. I'm taking myself off the air. I like management.
Well, one thing I do like about you, I liked it from the beginning, and I think Paul will bring some of this same mindset, and that is just, you know what, if these enough indicators are lining up here, I'm not going to put my head in the sand. And often in the Pacific Northwest, we do. When it gets hard, we kind of like, oh, well, go find something else. And, you know, the Seahawks lose, the listeners on Monday, I'm not quite ready to absorb
question
that.
Everything, challenge everything.
Yeah. And
who does that? The Northwest?
No, you do.
You.
I do? What are you talking? I never do that.
Yes. So
what would make you say I do that?
So I think most Seahawk fans that I've come across, most in the Pacific Northwest, Mike, would look at the indicators you brought up with Ziggy and do what John Clayton did and say, I'm not gonna answer that now.
I'm nervous.
We'll see down the road.
I'm nervous about Ziggy Ansa.
Your nervous meter is up on this one.
It's
quite
way
a bit.
Up. I got the you talking about bunny ears earlier, the rabbit ears for Baker.
Yes.
I was I did some origami last night at a curriculum night at the elementary school. Yeah, it's part of the whole thing.
Nice. Hello.
I created a bunny in origami, which, as you can imagine, was perfect.
Do you think it's like a parting gift of the regular show? You can make all four of us a
origami?
Piece of origami tonight?
I'll have to go back in and see the teacher.
See,
I don't know how to do it myself. I follow directions. As you can imagine, I made the single worst piece of origami of any of the parents that were there. I mean, mine was, I brought it home to Cecily, and she thankfully recognized that it was a rabbit, and she was able to say that in Japanese, which I don't remember. Somebody could probably write in what rabbit or bunny is in Japanese. She knew it. My giant rabbit ear antennas are up on Ziggy.
Okay.
I don't like the way this is going at all.
List it again, because you put out kind of the qualifiers of where it came from with John. Go ahead and give me all the little indicators as they start to crank up the worry.
Well, it starts with Tony Ortiz, who joined us. Can you find that Tony Ortiz, Kyle? Do you mind? Tony Ortiz joined us how long ago? He's a Detroit radio guy, been there forever.
April, March?
Really good dude. I loved him. He was one of my favorite kind of outside
March
6th. Folks we've had on. So it was March. We're talking about Ziggy's possibility. And he said that Ziggy's not like a obsessed with football guy. So you take this all the way back to the very beginning, and Tony Ortiz kind of sets this thing all off with this.
Ziggy Ansah's a guy who approaches football as a job. I think he looks at it as 9 to 5. He'll work hard during that time, but I also think Ziggy's the type of guy who has other avenues, other things that he enjoys doing. So football's not exactly, once he has to do it, it's fine, but it's not exactly something he lives, sleeps, and eats. He could live without football and still have a pretty successful life, in my opinion.
Not necessarily a problem in and of itself. The team is going to have guys like
and
that,
we
so
sure
I didn't panic.
And we sure spun that.
Yeah, like, okay,
oh,
it can
well,
work
it's Detroit.
Here.
Who, does, who would love
right.
football in Detroit? We
right.
love it in that organization. He's, Luke didn't love it.
The entire league passes on him. The Seahawks finally take him late and say, all right, we don't have to give up a pick, and so we'll take this chance.
Well, hold on one second. Let me just stop you there, because that's not factually totally correct. the rest of the league said, I'm going to bring you in Buffalo and look at you. I'm going to bring you into New Orleans and for a visit and free agency, and I'm going to look at you. And the rest of the league kind of all took a little look-see and said, ooh, that shoulder is whacked.
Yeah. Well,
we're not going to sign you in the first wave.
They passed.
But it wasn't as if everybody just immediately,
the league passed.
Said no
the
thanks.
League passed on him, and eventually the Seahawks got him in the third wave of free agency, Brock. The league passed. They got him late. All right, now you bring him into camp. He's off by himself, which is fine. I get it. He's working out. And then, you know, you hear all this great, oh, he's doing really well. We're going to get to see him. But we don't see him at all during preseason. Okay, fine. Maybe that was the plan. But then it looks like, okay, week one, he's ahead of schedule. No, doesn't play week one. Well, he's practicing week two. No, he doesn't play week two. All right, well, he's practiced all up. Are we ready for week three? And then he doesn't play in week three. Oh, wait, he did play in week three. He was just totally invisible in his 19 snaps. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out of it, and now he's got a back injury that keeps him out of practice yesterday. He's had his shoulder. He's had a groin. Now he's got a back. He doesn't practice. He doesn't play when he does play. Like, dude, that is a bad combination. Now, I don't know whether my Usagi ears are going to end up being correct. Yes, it's Usagi. In mm-hmm. in Japanese. Thank you to everybody who texted in. That's Cecily New off the top of her head last night. Very proud. So Usagi, my ears are up.
Ears in Japanese is Usagi?
That's bunny. No, that's rabbit.
Oh, it's bunny. Okay,
yeah, it's
awesome.
Rabbit. Maybe it's bunny. Maybe it's bunny and rabbit.
Maybe both.
Maybe
right.
Nobody needs the terms bunny and rabbit. They seem really unnecessary to have both. And the Japanese have probably figured out to keep that simple. Right? Just
but
need
you're
one term.
Hearing everything.
Dude, I'm listening and I'm worried and I'm on red Ziggy alert. I don't like where this is going.
I think
at all.
A little counsel I would give to Pete, and it's too late. Dang it. I didn't give him any counsel on Monday. He didn't ask in
well,
our exit interview.
I tried so many times to give him counsel over the years. They were always the most awkward parts of our interviews.
I think for Pete, I think for player, I think for fan, I think for everybody, there's a little lesson in Ziggy. We've seen this a few different times with different guys. And I know Pete is the eternal optimist, but less is more when it comes to injuries. And I think especially when you got a prominent player like that has some history, as Ziggy did with a shoulder issue for numerous of years. Maybe it was in June and July and even in August. Maybe it was like, time's going to tell. I got nothing for you. He's working, got nothing for you. Give the Bill Belichick on the injury front when it comes to these players for both that individual, for the expectations for teammates with that individual, for expectations for fans, maybe even front office people for that individual. Just say, hey, you know, the training staff, we got the best training staff. We got an amazing staff. We got amazing people that we believe in, and they're doing all they can to get him ready. And when he's ready, you'll see him. And instead, man, there were numerous times, right, where we heard, wow, yeah, he's cranked up. He's ready, man. Week three of the preseason, like, oh, yeah, absolutely. He should be ready for week number one. And then when he's not, man, it feels like a severe disappointment. Mm. And then the real, I would agree with you on one thing wholeheartedly through all of this. When you've got groin and now back, that's a challenge. Like, you can live with the shoulder. If this was just
right.
solely
hey,
the shoulder,
hurting. Okay,
and this
fine.
Thing is problematic, and man, it's been operated on. But when it's those other parts, that's where you start to get
and
to
then
me
you start
quite
to lay some of that context of, does he love this? Is he obsessed with playing football? Does he really want this to happen, or is he content? And so, yeah, apparently they're my Usagi no Mimi. Those are my rabbit ears. I guess Mimi is ears, and I got a texter here saying, it's my Usagi no Mimi that are all the way up, like Michael Bennett used to play.
So Cecily and Avery are both in the Japanese immersions.
Yeah, they're learning Japanese as they go. Yeah. So they can communicate with each other without us.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, it's not.
That's really dangerous, Mike.
Super dangerous. We thought about putting one of them in a Spanish class instead so that they wouldn't be able to communicate with each other in another language.
Yeah, at all. Or in another language. You don't want them talking at all.
We'll keep them separated.
Heather, what do you think they're saying about us? I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe it's for the best that we don't know. Let them go talk about the two of us by themselves and we don't have to hear it. Yeah. So. I'll tell you what I want to do. We'll open up the lines here. If you want to talk about Ziggy, that's open to you. If you want to talk about kind of your expectations and where the Seahawks are at, that's fine too. I know a lot of people have been interested in just sort of calling and talking to us as we kind of finish this thing up here as a radio show in the next couple of days. So the lines will be open here for the next 20 minutes before Scott Service joins us at 9:30. 206-421-3776. 206-421-3776. My Usagi no Mimi, Brock. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong. I don't want to be right about that. I was really excited
for
Ziggy.
What's so funny about that, Kyle? Why are you laughing?
My Usagi no Mimi, Brock.
Brock, it's just my Usagi no Mimi.
Brock, please help me.
Please help with my Usagi no Mimi.
Okay, well, let me first try to translate that.
It means my bunny ears.
Yeah, this is your little radar that over the years at times has proven to be really accurate in some cases.
Should I be worried?
Yes. Just say yes. You know I should be.
I'm not going to say the Pacific Northwest and often radio thing that we hear too often, in fact, and that is, well, we'll just see. I'm not going to say that. But at least give me this game. All right? Give me this opportunity this Sunday to evaluate, because this is a terrible offensive line. The Arizona Cardinals are not good up front. They're worse than your O-line. This is back to the, I think, the 16-17 Seahawks. And if you do not feel Ziggy and Clowney, and
you're not good. Let's just say, if you don't feel those guys, you're not good.
Then we've got a real problem.
Yeah, you're not a good team.
Because this secondary activate a safety and they brag about Colbert. You better feel those guys, and Kyler better feel them. Right. When you're playing a 5'9 punt returner with lightning speed and a rocket arm, this is why you traded for Clowney, and this is why you signed Ansah. These in this division, Mike, have to be two wins. And then when you play Jared, who is stationary, and then when you play Garoppolo, who's a little bit of a mix, in your division, to win your division,
you got to get after him.
You have to feel those guys.
And you got to stop the run and everything else. Ziggy was invisible, and quite frankly, Clowney wasn't much better on Sunday. That's got to change. 206-421-3776. Tay is in Seattle. What's up? Hello, Tay. Hello, Tay. Tay.
Hello.
Hey, Tay.
What's up, man?
Sorry, use your Mimi.
Hey, first thing, I want to say one thing. I met Brock when I was about in eighth grade, right before he was going into the draft. He was working out with a running back at UW on the field. Junior Olympics was going along, and me and a couple of my guys he played ball with and, you know, was talking to. So I appreciate Brock for that. He's been one of my biggest quarterbacks for a long time because of that.
I remember that. I remember that vividly.
You do not.
They were on the track. That's when the stadium had a track.
You remember Tay?
I actually, you know what's really funny? People will bring up different things. Some things I have no memory of. That doesn't surprise me. I kind of can remember some of those moments at times. So, right on, Tay. What else you got for us this morning?
Man, I want to talk about our running game. I don't know if it's Pete Carroll. I don't know if it's our offensive coordinators. But this has been going on since probably about our last Super Bowl with Marshawn. Last year, we had a great running game. We did phenomenal. This year, I'll say probably like the past 3-4 years, we want to be a running team. We want to say put emphasis on the running game, but yet we don't run a traditional power eye. Like, I feel like we need to put our running back 5 yards deep, 4 yards deep, put Russell on the center, hand him the ball, let him get some momentum downhill, get one or two cuts and just go. With our running backs and our talent and our line, I don't understand why we're...
I'm with you on that, and I think the other advantage of that, you know what else Russell's good at? The little bootleg that comes off play action, not just in the zone read shotgun game, but in actually turning his back and popping out the other side. I think Russell's great in that game.
So you did a good job the other day of walking me back on Monday because you watched all this NFL, and there's not a lot of teams that break up passes, and it's hard on the secondary. As you watch lots of NFL, is it possible, Mike, and I'm asking this honestly, is it possible to have a run game in the NFL that's not predictable? Because the number one thing you hear all the time, not only do people get frustrated and feel like, oh, you established a run, blah, 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 but it just feels, if there's one commonality.
It shouldn't matter.
That I feel so
if you're
so
running
often,
the ball the right way, it shouldn't matter. The only part that should be unpredictable is, that's fine, they can know where you're going. Occasionally you run a flip nine or whatever, something to kind of change it up.
Ooh.
But for the most, you know I love flip nine.
Ooh, that's good.
But for the most part, yeah, they're going to, I mean, those running plays are telegraphed, but you're big enough and strong enough and you have enough blockers and you move people out of the way. And if you got them stacked the box, then play action should be really helpful.
Yep.
I don't know. I would like to see them have more success in the running game right now. I'm definitely
good call,
nervous about that. You want to talk to your boy Freddie in Birch Bay?
Oh, Freddie.
What's up, Fred?
Gentlemen, it has been so much fun listening to you guys grow up right before our eyes.
Freddie, I was in the urinal last break, right? And the urinal is situated in our bathroom in such a way that it echoes in there. And I do my best singing, and I was singing some Neil Diamond in there. And I was doing it in my deep voice like you got. You are the sun, I am the... I was thinking about you, Freddie, in Birch Bay, right there in the urinal this morning. So bring it. What you got?
Telepathy, baby. Yeah, no, I mean, I could hardly stand Salk when I first heard about him. I didn't even get an East Coast accent. So it's like, who is this guy? But I tell you, he's been westernized.
Ah,
he has.
He really has. There's been a little lighter, a little more heart. Maybe it's a little bit of Brock rubbing off on.
What if the opposite is true?
I love you, Salk.
What if the opposite is true? What if I've actually remained the same and you've just gotten a little tougher?
And you've been Easternized.
That's right. What if you, just in all of your years of listening, have changed some of your tune on that and I haven't actually changed at all?
Well, I survived 10 titanium screws over last year.
That's right. You don't think that gave you a little harder edge?
New hip.
Yes.
And I avoided cancer.
Right. So there you go.
It played a major part.
No wonder you have a hard edge.
Every morning I wake up, I look forward to hearing you guys.
That's awesome. Thanks, Freddie. We appreciate it.
Give the same benefit of the doubt to the next guy.
That's awesome. Thank you. And I hope other people will as well. Thanks, Fred. We appreciate that. He's been a great caller. And Paul, yeah, he's going to have some edge to him, and I like that. We need a little of that around here. Give
a
chance.
Yes, we do.
You guys are going to dig it. I promise. Let's grab Jason, who's in Surprise, Arizona.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Jason. He's listening on the 710 Sports app. Are you at Culver's?
Whoa, where are you?
Jason?
No, I'm at Luke Air Force Base.
Oh, I thought you were Culver's or getting yourself
sir,
a little walleye fish
even
sandwich.
Better. Are you landing some F-16s? You have time to talk to us right now? What's up?
I used to land F-16s, but I retired about a year and a half ago.
Nice.
They're always flying over the Wigwam Golf Course when we're playing down there, coming out of Luke.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
To distract you guys.
Fell in a creek down
there. Hey, guys. I just wanted to thank you for the last 10 years because I was in the military for 20 years, and you guys were always my connection back to Seattle and my connection to home, and I really appreciate both of you. I'm going to miss you a lot.
Oh, but you're going to listen to the podcast, right, Jason? You're on that. You're going to get that every week. We'll still connect you, and you can listen to all the shows here at 710 on that 710 Sports app, both on demand and streaming. So we're gonna keep you, still connected to Seattle, we promise.
Yeah, you bet. And I was just going to say, to Sock's point on Ziggy, it sounds like both of those issues are soft tissue issues.
Yep.
Which, you kind of expect for a guy who's gone through a kind of a lengthy rehab process. But it also, I think, speaks maybe to a little bit of whatever his workout regimen was while he was going through rehab in that preseason workout. Mm-hmm. And that's alarming to me for a guy his age and with his injury history to be now, as soon as he gets active, starts propping up with a bunch of these soft tissue injuries, which can be really problematic. So I would kind of land with Falk on that one. Yeah,
I would tend to agree with that. Thank you for the phone call, your
Thank
service
you,
as well,
service.
My friend, and keep on listening. I would tend to agree with that. And honestly, if there was one that I would thought really suffered from that, it would have been Clowney. Okay, Ziggy has been around. I'm not buying this argument. He hasn't done anything. From the day they signed him, that is one heck of a valuable investment. And one of them that was an absolute must that they prioritized, that they gave some healthy millions of guaranteed dollars to, that he's been out there conditioning. He's been out there doing all of the individual work that he could do. He was not doing any contact. Jadeveon Clowney had none of that. And you could say, well, he wasn't injured. Sure, he wasn't injured, but he had no structure. He had no facility, had nobody watching over him. He was totally on his own. And guess what he hasn't had? A bunch of injuries. And guess what else he has? You felt him, and he's been a game changer from day one. So Ziggy has had plenty of attention to detail for 5 months, really concerned to make sure they can do everything they can to empower him to be ready. And that is why I think it is very concerning.
Usagi no Mimi, man. That's why those rabbit ears are up. Text message from the 425. Wow. After hearing that, I just realized Sulk Easternized me. Oh, no. Yeah. Hey, these things happen. 206-421-3776. I know one person you want to hear from today, Brock. If I know there's one
Stu
person.
Stu the Guru?
No, God. No, definitely not. Someone you want to hear
is
from.
Is it the man Brock said pre-show
yes,
he wanted to
it
hear
would be
from
that
today?
One.
Oh, let me hear.
Mike is in Edmonds. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Oh,
how you doing, Mike? You all right?
Oh, that's the voice I love to hear.
Yeah.
I'm serious, Mike. I love every time your first. I said it to Kyle and Mike before the show. I said, we're going to open the show talking Felix. Scott Service is on with us in
10 minutes.
10 minutes. I said, I want to hear from Mike up in Edmonds. Thank you. What's up?
Thank you, guys. You saved me from listening to another morning show on another station that I was having increasing problems with. And you have lit up my mornings for 10 years. So thank you.
Thanks, man. We appreciate that.
Yep. I don't care about Ziggy, but I care about what Service is going through. And hats off to Felix for his talent and his performance before 4 years ago. But as you know, Salk, and I've written to you about this, his performance, his dealings with the team lately have been nothing to get excited about or even reinforce with the young people. And the young guys coming in, I'm thinking they're all going to be better off with Felix gone. He may change. He may grow up with this having to go to another team and may eventually come back and be much better, kind of like Randy did. But, I think they're actually better off without him, unfortunately. And
Mike, would you say that Salk's Easternized this point of view for you, or is this something that you've always had?
No, but, you know, I'm so glad that there's a morning guy on that's really a baseball fan. Yeah, boy,
me too.
It just saved my day.
Yep. Appreciate it, Mike. Great to hear your voice.
You're the best. Always good to hear from you.
Podcast, 710-710.
Yeah, we hope you'll stay with us, Mike. Yes. Podcast to 710-710. Follow the prompts from there because you got to write yes, and then you got to click on the link and the whole deal. So, I'm definitely going to miss Mike. Mike's one of our favorites. We'll talk to Scott coming up in 10 minutes. Good texter here. Says, where's Phil the Skunk? If I could hear from one person tomorrow,
man.
For everybody who works down there at the Guitar Center in Olympia, let Phil the Skunk know.
Please.
We want to hear from him tomorrow. We'll do some open phone lines. Are we going to do open phone lines at 8 and 9 tomorrow?
Probably.
I think so. It's the last show. Let's just open them up and have some fun with you guys. I would really like to hear from Phil the Skunk at some point tomorrow. Right? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay to ask for?
Oh, no question.
Okay. How are my Usagi no Mimi doing?
Not bad.
Not bad?
Not bad. Yeah, I'm curious how much Service is going to miss my really good baseball takes.
You think so?
Yeah, that's probably my first question.
I think if there's one person Scott Service is going to miss, it's boy howdy. That's been a relationship that has really grown and developed over the years and has really become
one final shot.
Well,
here,
not good at all. Scott Service, one of our favorites, will join us next. I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Made some interesting connections on this show over the years. I got to tell you, this is a great show, or a great experience. It is a great show. I'm very proud of it.
It's a great show. The numbers show that.
That's not what I was trying to say.
No, they do. We finally can talk about that. The numbers have shown that.
It is a great experience to host a show like this. It's been awesome. We'll talk a lot more about that tomorrow. At least I have some stuff I'm planning to say. But we got to meet some really, really cool people. We got to interview Pete Carroll every week, which has been awesome. We got to interview Jim Mora every week for a year, which was not awesome.
Terrific.
We got to know some really interesting folks through the Mariners. I really enjoyed our time at the beginning talking to Don Wakamatsu, who we really liked. And then we also talked to Lloyd McClendon, which
and
was a totally different experience.
And you connected super well.
No, we did not.
No, you and Steve Sarkisian became buddies.
Of all the people that we've talked to on a semi-regular basis, Scott Service has been amongst my favorite. And our experience doing a little batting practice with him this year at spring training is something I will remember forever. So, Scott, thank you so much for that. And thanks for joining us here on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline today. We really appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Glad to be on. Was that batting practice this spring, or was that like 3 years ago? It seems like a long time ago.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was only this year.
It was 158 games ago, something like that, somewhere around there, Scott.
No, it's glad to be on with you guys. Obviously, we're wrapping up our season. Big night tonight. You know, Felix takes the mound tonight for us, and looking forward to that.
Should be cool. I mean, I'm expecting the fans to really thank Felix and for everything he did. He stayed here. He was loyal to the team. He could have signed elsewhere. And Felix, when we first started this show in 2009, for those first 3 or 4 years, I've said this a bunch of times, Scott, he was in that zone where when he walked somebody or gave up 2 hits in a row, you just assumed he was hurt because there was no way he was going to give that up. When you got a pitcher who's in a zone like that, it's just got to be remarkable, right?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, we saw it a couple nights ago from Garrett Cole. But, back in, you know, when Felix was certainly in his prime, undoubtedly probably the best pitcher in the game for a number of years. And, you know, an unbelievable, run here, in Seattle. And I really hope he has a good outing tonight. Certainly, he's thrown the ball, you know, a couple outings ago, had a really nice outing here at home. Hopefully he's got it going on tonight, and he enjoys it and lets it all hang out there.
How you doing, man? How's this year been for
Good.
Scott Service, the manager, the human being? Just you knew, I think, going into this year, right? It was very clear publicly that, you know, this would be a year with a lot of young people, a lot of learning, some Kaizen along the way. How you been holding up?
Good. You know, we knew this was going to be a transition year. And, you know, you hear the saying, expect the expected, and we knew we were going to, you know, turn over our roster some and really give a lot of opportunity to young players. And, you know, you look at 67 players and 21 players made their major league debut with us this year. That's unbelievable. The number of people we brought up and gave them an opportunity along the way. We have discovered some things, some people and some guys that we can go forward with. So it's been a really good year in that regard. We're continuing to stay patient and stay disciplined to what we've set up and what the long-term plan is here. And I'm excited going forward. There's a lot of things that I really look forward to as far as working with this group, helping develop this group, and teaching them how to win.
Who'd you discover? Who did you determine this year? Yep, that's going to be a piece for me moving forward.
Well, stands out. I mean, J.P. Crawford's been really solid. I know that defensively he's made huge steps forward, but, you know, you got to have a shortstop. You got a guy in the middle of the field that you want the ball hit to him, and he finishes plays, and he's been outstanding defensively. He's learning with the bat. We saw some really flat, outstanding flashes, 2-3 week periods where he was right on everything, and then there's kind of been some learning along the way, but really excited about his future. Shortstop, you got to have that guy. I think we've done a really nice job behind the plate. Tom Murphy coming in, didn't really know what we're getting. Omar Narvaez, those two guys offensively have exceeded anybody's expectations they ever could have thought they could have done this year. So positives there. I like what I've seen out of some of the bullpen pieces we've got. Guys would, you know, claim guys. We traded for a few guys. We've given some younger guys opportunities that were in our organization. Like what we have going forward there. I think Kyle Lewis certainly doing what he's done here the last few weeks is a bright spot. I think it gives our fans something to really bite down on and understand that these players that are coming up are really good. Now, there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be some struggles along the way, but they've got talent. And what really excites me is they're wired the right way. The character of these guys is outstanding, which says a lot to what our minor league people and people throughout the organization have done in developing them. So, you know, there's been a lot of bright spots. I thought Vogie had a tremendous first half. It certainly, you know, fell off here in the second half, but he did way more than anybody maybe expected him to do. I thought Kyle Seager's emergence in the second half of the season was great to see. Really happy for him, and not just on the field, but what Kyle's done kind of behind the scenes in our clubhouse and helping some of these young players get, you know, adapt to the big league surrounding lifestyle a bit quicker has been really valuable for us. So, again, I can go on and on. A lot of good things this year.
Scott Servais, skipper for the Mariners, one of our favorites to talk to. 67 players, Scott. So does that mean 67 exit interviews? And if so, when all 67 walk in one at a time, do you think we got first, middle, and last name of every one of those 67?
You know, the way I, you know, it's crazy. We start 42 pitchers. It's been crazy the number of people that have worn our uniform this year, but you know, when guys come in, you want to sit down and talk with them a little bit. And the way I remember, you know, people or players, you got to have something in their background. Everybody's got a story. So trying to get them to talk about their families or how they got in that chair where they're talking with me across my desk is intriguing to me. And it's always interests me how players get to that point. And it's really been a way for me to connect with guys a little bit quicker. I like doing it. Did I ever anticipate I'd have 67 of them? No, I didn't.
Be truthful. Were there games this year where you did not know or were not sure exactly who was in your bullpen?
No.
I don't believe you. I don't believe it for a second.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure you guys just swapped uniforms on some guys and just like threw a different unit.
Like
no,
Winkler
this is actually
or Whistler
someone else.
Or whatever.
It's
fine. Yeah. What if we would have walked? What if like player 68 would have been this guy by the name of James Osborne? Do you think you would have recognized a James Osborne or
Boy Howdy?
Or do you think you would have needed Boy Howdy as he walked into your office?
If Boy Howdy ever walks into my office and has anywhere close to having a uniform on, I have to get out of my chair and run out the door as quick as I can.
I don't blame you.
It's along the way, like I said, it's been a journey, and you got to enjoy the journey. And we have myself, our coaching staff, we've done a lot, and I guess implementing things that are important to us and is going to be important to us going forward. As far as our meeting structure, kind of our process that goes along, kind of behind the scenes that the fans don't see anymore, and it's paid off. Mm. You know, early season we were so bad defensively. You know, it was a struggle for us to catch the ball, which just, you know, it was rough, and our guys kept working. Certainly our personnel changed a little bit. We got Seager back. We got Crawford in there. And once that's happened, I said to the guys the other day, we have worked harder this year than any club that I've been around. It's paid off. The amount of errors that we've made in the infield from July 1st, we lead the American League in the least amount of errors in the infield since July 1st. Mm. That's a testament to the work these guys have put in. Now, it was rough early. So the end of the year, the bulk numbers don't look that great, but trending in the right direction. That's what the goal was all year, is keep moving this thing in the right direction. That's what we've done.
I'm sure you'll be fine if you never see the Astros again, like forever. And I don't blame you. They were, I mean, that team's really, really good. But how important has it been that you guys have done well against some of the other teams this year that are not competing for the playoffs? I know you've had struggles with some of the best teams, but what has it done for the culture and building a winning identity to go out and have success against the Pirates or the Orioles or the Tigers or the White Sox or some of those teams this year?
It certainly helped, no doubt. You got to win some games along the way to kind of keep the positive energy going, and we did that. I thought we played well in the last homestand. The White Sox and the Reds were decent teams. They've had their ups and downs this year as well. We went on the road, we played well against Pittsburgh, we played okay over in Baltimore. You've got to keep the momentum going there. Certainly the Astros have had our number. They're very talented, very good. They're going to go deep into the playoffs. But along the way, the little victories, and whether it's how we're playing, it's how we're executing, the bullpen guys are throwing better, all that stuff's going to pay dividends for us down the road, and we know that. So I'm really happy with the movement we've made here, certainly in the second half of the season. And it's not indicative of our record. And we knew that going in. You can't get caught up into that. It's big picture. We had to take a step back to get where we ultimately want to go. And I know I answered questions early in the year that we weren't going for it. And I kind of rebutted that and said, we are going for it. That's why we stepped back. And I'm very appreciative of our fan base that understands that. Again, I know it's not easy watching, our struggles against the Astros and certain teams, but the people that really, I think, delved into what we're doing and why we're doing it, believe in what we're doing, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Well, throw me into that category. I think you guys did the right thing. I think this year has had a lot of positive. Every time I watch J.P. Crawford bust his butt on the way down to first base, I applaud. That guy's hustle and the way he plays the game, and he's not alone. I really commend you. Scott, you've been one of my favorite people to talk to on this show, and I think you're doing a heck of a job. We lost him just when I was saying something nice? What, are you kidding me? Did we lose you?
Still there? I lost you.
Oh, my God.
I got you back now.
I was saying all these nice things about you. How dare you get cut out there?
That boy, howdy, hit the button in the background.
Unbelievable. You've gotten this team to play hard, Scott, and in a step-back season like that, I think that is no mean feat. So on a personal note, thank you, and on a professional note, congrats. I think this was a successful year for you, even if the record doesn't show it. So thank you very much for being with us all the time.
No problem, guys. I appreciate it. So you guys are headed to the podcast world, is that right?
Yeah, you're going to join us? Will you come on the podcast sometime?
Is Boy Howdy going to be on with you?
Well, we won't tell you that ahead.
Definitely yes.
Okay, so if Boy Howdy's going to be there, I don't know if I do the podcast. How about if I just meet you guys for a cold beverage somewhere and we'll just shoot the bull? How's that?
Sold. Yes, thank you for saying bull. We don't need to dump you again on this show. That's all right. We've already done that once. So, we don't need that again. Scott, good luck. We appreciate it. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support.
There you Bye-bye. Go. Scott Service, Mariners manager. Honestly, one of my favorite people we've had on the show over the years. I really like Scott a lot.
Hello?
That's unbelievable.
Hello?
You guys there?
Is that going to happen tomorrow when I start crying at the end of the show?
Hello?
You guys
Hello?
Are just going to be walking around and go, hello?
Well, last time that happened was Bob Rondo.
No. Yeah, Bob Rondo and what's his name? Yeah. Brennan. The guy in Cleveland.
Bruce Drennan.
Yeah.
I am putting together.
Dial tone.
I am going to put together my three favorite moments in 10, 11
You
years.
Are?
I am.
Oh my
you
God.
Said all week you weren't.
Yeah, you said you
I'm
wouldn't
sorry.
Do that.
You made quite a
no,
point
I'm
to
going
grandstand
to do it.
About
I am
that.
Going to find.
I'm not
going to
do that.
And I think that Rondo may be one of them. That,
come on.
That,
well, just don't ask me for help.
That was awesome.
We're not doing that. Come on. The show continues.
I know
we're just
it
be
does.
A podcast.
Well, maybe we'll just have
We may have a plan, too, for our next segment. Answer the Question Jerk is next. You know what to do. Text us at 710-710, powered by Coors Light. We'll answer your questions coming up on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the Question Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The Question Jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the Question Jerk!
All right, let's see what you guys have today. There's some good stuff. As always, some food questions. Tuna fish sandwich, toasted with or without pickles? First of all, I never thought about really using pickles on tuna fish. I'm not opposed to that.
You didn't
good.
Dice it up? In the Hewitt home, Mike Hewitt makes a good tuna fish.
Always goes with pickles.
With the mayo, but he dices up the pickles pretty thin, so it's mixed in. It's
that
not like
great.
Pickles on top.
The one thing I don't like in my tuna fish is celery. I think celery is the scourge of the earth. I hate it raw, disgusting.
Yeah, and I'd probably prefer toasted.
Yeah, toasted. Absolutely. Yep. I love a tuna melt. Let's go.
Yep.
Tuna melted up.
I might have a tuna melt for lunch today.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what I had yesterday? Popcorn shrimp.
Oh, really? At Daniel's?
Yeah.
Who'd you go to Daniel's with yesterday? Oh, you had a little meeting.
Oh, yeah. Great meeting.
Good.
Love Scott over at Precor. Great meeting. And the popcorn shrimp, lunch or dinner.
Nice.
I'd recommend.
Jerks, who
even Brent.
Who was the worst guest you've ever had on the show? Vita Vea.
Eh.
Vita was worse.
Two-man race.
Between him and...
Dave Marks.
We had guests in here yesterday. We were showing them the Marvin Demoff tape. Yeah. And we ran it back, or we at least just measured it. It was 8 minutes and 55 straight seconds of him just... And the collectively bargained to have language that contains...
I still think Vita was
salt.
Worse.
You asked Vita what he loves about football.
And he couldn't answer it.
So
it's one of the most
so,
bizarre moments
so
of the
mad
show.
At me.
Vita,
you
what's your favorite
right.
thing to do on a football field?
Three, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Just playing.
12.
11 seconds.
Unedited.
Say just playing. Well, no, I figured you liked playing. Is there any part of the game that intrigued you the
I,
most?
Hey, Vita, I own that. Salk said, we are not doing it live. I said, bro, it's 9 o'clock. He's getting ready for
nope.
the draft. He'll be up.
Don't talk to college kids before noon.
Yep.
Rule number
I,
one.
I own that one. I was wrong.
We talked to one college kid later. Who was good. Who was that? We talked to one college athlete last year who was good.
Was that Dante Pettis?
No, it wasn't
Matisse
him.
Thybul?
No.
Yeah.
Was it Matisse?
The afternoon show did, and he was great.
Well, I believe in the afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yeah,
sure.
Those guys are all
Miles
great
wasn't good either.
No, Miles is terrible.
Up. Yeah, woke him up.
And he's
Dave
good.
Marks was asleep.
Yes.
That wasn't good.
We did
either.
Talk to somebody once in the morning that
we
was
did.
Good. It was like last year. It was
someone will
bad.
Text that in, 7107.
Yeah. Jerked. Adam Moore was really bad. We had him on at noon. He had just woken up from playing video games all
woke
night.
Woke Kitten up from a nap.
That was
did you
terrible.
Ever talk to BBK?
No.
Nope.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I don't need that. I'm good.
Oh. How about that old D tackle? That was really good, too.
Oh, Hill?
Who? Jordan Hill.
Jordan Hill?
Yeah, teammates like having a
Jesse
yeah.
Williams
episode.
Just collapsed with, like,
the
cancerous. Yeah.
It's like, so you were there with him when it happened. What did you do?
I just brought him to the hospital.
Just like.
What did you do then? Were you, like,
I just went home and played video games.
Oh, okay.
So your teammates lying on the floor dying in front of you. What was that like?
Well, I just like
I went and played
know,
video games.
I called 911.
Took him to the hospital.
It was fine.
It was a big deal.
Went back to the NBA 2K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Whew.
I don't like that.
Jerks, and specifically Salk, has anyone ever attacked a radio co-host of yours that's made you more angry than Jim Mora attacking Brock? No. I think that was probably the one that made me most mad.
Oh, that was intense.
I was mad.
Oh,
you were. I mean, so I called Brock when I first heard about it. I was at home. I was livid.
I was on the
so
treadmill,
mad.
And my phone is blowing out.
I would put
never.
Very little stock in the ball. You have to say.
I was furious.
I got
fairness to my comment.
I'm here for you. You are right. I'm like, what did I do? What is going on?
I didn't say I have your back. I'm here for you. I was like, I'm going on the air tomorrow, and I'm going to skewer this SO you know what. I was so mad.
This SO you know what.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have been westernized.
Sure have. I've been Brock Hewardized.
Good.
Sark's one of the worst guests we've ever had on this show. That guy's terrible.
He did not care for you.
No, picking his nose and eating it. Ugh.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Yeah, sure.
I'm the phoniest first. Person we've ever had, you think, Sark? Biggest phony, for sure.
I don't know who would come close.
Ooh,
who's a bigger phony than Sark? That guy was the, like, Mr. Hey, I'm the first coach to be on Twitter. I got a blog, this and that. But I don't read the internet, boys. With your
I don't read the internet, guys.
With your fake little Texas accent. So phony.
So mad.
Salk, can you do your Reese's Pieces voice one last time? What was that? What, why was I doing that?
You have a mouthful of Reese's
Pieces. Reese's Pieces.
Why was I doing that?
Can you just do all your voices? Can you do your East Coast voice?
Can you tell me the tongue in your mouth? I don't know the turkeys, but I don't get Reese's Pieces.
You just spit
why?
All over
I don't know. Mic. Was that Halloween or something?
Had
is that in
be.
The system anywhere?
I think I enjoy your radio play-by-play guy the most.
Oh, Mr. Radio Guy?
Yes.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
You were going to tell people something, by the way.
What was it?
We're going to answer
questions. Oh, answer the question, jerk. Yes. So we're not going to be able to take texts anymore once we go to podcast.
But.
So do you think we'll be able to do this on Twitter? Is that good enough?
Yes.
We've always tried to add Twitter in as part of Answer the Question, Jerk. It's always been a failure. But I'm hoping that if we throw out an email address
with a hashtag Longbody. Hashtag Longbody.
Hashtag, this is what a hashtag means.
Yes.
Hashtag what? ATQJ?
Yes.
That would be enough to get people doing it on Twitter. But I don't know. I'm skeptical. So we'll try it. Hopefully you guys will do it.
That is read what others are saying and join the conversation. That's what hashtag Longbody, I think.
Oh, wow. That's what a hashtag means.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Fresh water.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm not crying. We got one more. We're going to bring it tomorrow, like never before.
Is that true?
Yep.
All right, tomorrow.
Clap your hands, everybody.
Congratulations to Danny O'Neill and to Paul Gallant. Congratulations, who they'll be in this show. Congratulations to Bob Stelton, Jim Moore, Dave Wyman for the new afternoon show. Hear what the new midday show is at 2:45 today. We'll catch you guys for the final time on radio tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Until then, Brock the Hay.
Barnes.
See everybody.
Hello. Whoop. Are you guys still there? I lost you for a second. There you are. You're back now. That boy, howdy, hit the button in the background. Dang it. I knew that. Jeez.
This is a chopper!